Tornado in the Junkyard, The Case Against Darwin, Freedom Shall Return. These are just The Shadows of Power. These are just some of the books written by our next guest, James Perloff. JamesPerloff.com, P-E-R-L-O-F-F.com, if you want to check out his website. Just an absolute pleasure. A patriot, just a freedom writer, I like to call him, and one of the writers that really compels me. Love to have him on. Welcome back to the Power Hour, James.
Well, thank you, Daniel, and thank you for that intro.
Your new book I have right here in my hot little hand is 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw, Solving Political, Cultural, and Spiritual Riddles, Past and Present. I found it very interesting. Give us a little bit of background on this book. Why this book now?
Sure. I've written a lot on creation evolution. In fact, in 2001, Daniel, I was actually doing about 3 shows a week on that on Christian and alt media shows. And then 9/11 happened. And of course, nobody wanted to talk about that. And I soon realized when I discovered the truth about 9/11 that it was not what the government said, that and I saw the wars unfolding in the Middle East, that the geopolitical situation was far more vital to investigate and tell people about than even creation evolution, although that's very important in terms of some people's relationship with God. In 2013, I published a book called Truth is a Lonely Warrior, which the Power Mall actually used to stock. And that book is a primer on the New World Order. You know, it covers the Fed and the Council on Foreign Relations and media control and chemtrails and vaccines and sort of A to Z. But after I finished that book, I had someone contact me through LinkedIn. You know, I'd lost my website, and they asked me, would you like to help you put up a new website? And I said, sure. And I was delighted because it was a WordPress site that I really liked it. You can update it yourself very easily. And since Truth is a Lonely Warrior, I've written quite a few blog posts on that website and learned new things and expanded on details that were in Truth is a Lonely Warrior. And I decided that in this age, this recently, as I know you know, Daniel, there are a lot of people getting blocked out of social media who are conservatives or, you know, politically unacceptable for one reason or another. I mean, I've had people write me, say their website was taken down for no given reason and that, you know, hundreds of articles were lost. And so, you know what, I should take some of my more significant articles. Actually, there are 3 criteria I used for this particular book. Articles that were significant, such as Pearl Harbor. That's something I've written on since 1986 when I wrote a cover story for it on for the New American. Also, articles that were unique. For example, the one on the Hindenburg. I found that Hilaire Dubérier, who ran an intelligence newsletter out of Monaco, started in 1958, had what I think is the authentic story of what happened to the airship Hindenburg. And I looked at the internet, nobody else had picked up that story. It was just lost in his files. And I said, well, I got to resurrect that story for history, the sake of history. And the other criterion was popularity. If an article was really hot, like the one on the war in Syria, which is an interview with a Christian Syrian doctor, she's a doctor here in the United States, but knows a lot about what's going on in Syria due to her friends and family there. That got over 6,000 Facebook shares, and it was either the first or second week, and that's a lot for my website. So I felt that articles that were very popular should also be included. So that's kind of the criteria. So this is a companion book to Truth is a Lonely Warrior. You put the two together to get a fuller picture of what's going on.
If the audience you're listening now, and you know James Perloff, like he said, he's written for the New American for a lot of years. If you like to read little bits, little stories, and then go on to the next one instead of reading, you know, a whole 300 pages, this is awesome. You can almost pick it up, read 20 pages, think about it, ponder it, and then you can come back to it a month later and you haven't lost anything. You just go to the next story. That's segmented stories. And James, very unique perspective on it and very well documented perspective on it. I love it. I obviously don't get a lot of time on books. Look, you know, audience, I tell you if the book is good. You know, I kind of wink, wink, nod, nod, I tell you. And I can tell this is a good book. And what I've seen, it's already dragged me in, and I've already read quite a bit of it, way more than most of the books that come across my desk, just so you know. So you've really done something here, I think, James. I just wanted to commend you on that.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Let's start Maybe we'll start chapter 8, kind of right in the middle of your book, The Real Reason There Was a Golden Age of Television. It's got a picture of Leave It to Beaver. It's got a picture of the Honeymooners there, Jackie Gleason, who's just hilarious. Let's talk about what is the real reason there was a golden age of television.
Yeah, well, that kind of fascinated me. You know, I was just a kid then. I was born in 51, and our family got our first TV set in 55 or 56, and I wasn't really exposed to the adult content. I was just watching the kiddie shows back then, but in retrospect, I started to look at the shows. I realized that not only were the weekly drama shows, which, you know, they featured a different cast each week, and there were many of those, Playhouse 90, not only were the dramas outstanding, but there was something about that era that people just loved, and something about that era of television. So it was called the Golden Age, and I wondered about that. And what I realized, Dan, was that it was a trap. And all of the content back then was moral. And if you watch Leave It to Beaver, you know, Beaver always had to make a right or wrong decision. And almost all the shows were like that. There was no cursing back then. There was no sex. There was no graphic violence. And one thing I discovered that I didn't realize, but when I started investigating, I realized that in the early 50s especially, there was a lot of openly Christian content. And, you know, my wife asked me a couple years ago, what do they want for Christmas? And I said, well, you know, there's this old series called Studio 48 and Studio One, it started showing dramas in 1948. And I said, why don't you get me that? I've never seen it before. And I was amazed at some of the Christian content. It wasn't all Christian for sure, but you know, there's a show where the father's given up on God, but at the end, the family's going off to church as the church bells are ringing, you know. And turn to classic movies. A couple of years ago, they showed the lost TV episodes of James Dean, you know, the Hollywood actor who was very gifted but tragically died young. And I watched an episode of a show, it was Robert Montgomery Presents, it's called Harvest, and you can actually download that from Amazon. But I was amazed at the Christian content. You know, James Dean played a farm boy. When his grandfather dies, they play the Lord's Prayer, the song version. And at the end, the father gives this heartfelt Christian prayer, which I actually reproduced in the book. And, you know how pop songs used to be introduced on television? You know, Dick Clark and all of that. Well, you know, the very first
American pop song.
Yeah, American Bandstand. The very first pop song introduced on television for the first time was I Believe by Frankie Lane. It was all about belief in God. That was the first pop song, and that hit number 2 on the 53 charts. And so the content was openly Christian, a lot of it. And I realized that it was an old strategy. You know, to get the mouse into the mousetrap, you got to put cheese there. And television was so moral back then that I actually believe it was good for America at that time. But what happened was the content was very moral in order to induce Americans to permit these expensive TV boxes into their homes. But what happened was once TV reached saturation, over 90%, and that was in 1963, it was over 91%, then they started to tweak the content, and all of a sudden Leave It to Beaver was gone, and reruns of Father Knows Best were gone, and all of a sudden you had My Favorite Martian, which I think that aliens are demonic, but all very cutesy, you know. Bewitched was a very cutesy witch, and I Dream of Jeannie was very cutesy magic, and they boiled the frog until today it's openly satanic, and you got a show called Lucifer, where Lucifer is portrayed as a good guy, and, you know, it's a stuff I don't even watch television anymore, you know, unless it's an old classic of some kind. But they boiled the frog, and that was all very deliberate, and if people want a little confirmation of that, I just want to quote Anton LaVey, who is the founder of the Church of Satan. Here's what he wrote in his book, The Devil's Notebook, in 1992. Quote, TV's infiltration has been so gradual, so complete, that no one even noticed. People don't need to go to church anymore. They get their morality plays on television. What began modestly as rabbit ears on the top of family TV sets, now satellite dishes and antennas pridefully dominating the skyline, replacing crosses on top of churches. End quote. Satanist Anton LaVey. So, yeah, TV, it was meant to be moral in the beginning, and then as soon as they had it in everyone's home, they started tweaking the content. But so slowly, people didn't figure it out.
Let me interject a couple things here and get your thoughts. As I read this section, really fascinating, interesting points. you bring up 1963. Okay. I've had a couple guests come on and talk about that time, how there was whatever we call the deep state, there was a plan, Illuminati, Freemasons, whatever, to take America from basically leave it the beaver, as you've mentioned, to Woodstock. How fast could we do it? So from 1963 to 69, could we do it in 6 years? Can we take America from Wally and Father Knows Best to, Jimi Hendrix and Woodstock? Could we do that? And along in 1963, we know that Kennedy was killed. You mentioned in your book the Supreme Court decision about the Bible, that the Bible in 63 was officially killed in classrooms by the Supreme Court. Talk about all this. It totally seems orchestrated, and it seems pretty viable what these other guests have said. From 63 to 69, how fast could we change America? Your thoughts.
Well, that's funny because I thought I was the one who coined the phrase from the Leave It to Beaver to Woodstock in an article, a blog post I wrote a couple of years ago, but maybe other people coincided with that thought. But I asked my friend Mary Ellen Moore, who has hosted your show in the past.
Yes, absolutely. Hi, Mary. Yeah, if you're listening, hi, Mary.
I don't think she's listening now, but I who knows? But I asked her just point blank, when do you think television shifted? Because I believed it was the fall of 63. And she said 64. But of course, 64, the spring of 64 is the flip side of the television season that began in spring of 63. So she was also aware of that. And she's, not far from my age. And in addition to the Supreme Court kicking God out of schools, according to Malachi Martin, I'm not Catholic, never have been, but a lot of traditional Catholics believe that their church started to fall apart with Vatican II. And according to Malachi Martin, Father Malachi Martin, he says there was a ceremony in the Vatican in the summer of 63 enthroning Satan. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what he says. But I do know that the Supreme Court, which had 5 out of 9 Freemasons, 5 out of 9 were Freemasons. And I believe that these men believed, I'm not speaking for all Freemasons, not your low-level Blue Lodge Masons, but I believe that these high-ranking Freemasons on the Supreme Court considered their oath of loyalty to the Brotherhood, which we know at the very top is Luciferian, to be more important than their oath to uphold the Constitution. And these weren't just liberals who didn't understand the Constitution when they outlawed prayer and Bible reading. But I noticed myself in the fall of 63, and I noticed the month of November, that a lot of my classmates who I'd grown up with and known for years suddenly acted like little demons. They had totally changed. And I know it was November of 63 because we had trick-or-treated on October the 31st and they were all fine. But when my mother came in to tell me about President Kennedy's assassination on November the 22nd, I could barely absorb that news because I was so upset by these changes in my classmates. So I know it was November of 63. And that was a significant month. That was when Ngo Dinh Diem was assassinated. It was when Kennedy was assassinated. And then in 64, what happened? 64, the Beatles arrived. They were the center of the whole counterculture movement. And of course, in 64, we got Tonkin Gulf. And the Vietnam War began. The anti-war protests began. And we got that Woodstock culture. And I do believe that from the Luciferian viewpoint, yes, that was orchestrated. I don't think that was the random unfolding of events.
I'm fascinated by this now and look at it's like light years ahead. You were talking about Leave It to Beaver and I Dream a Genie Bewitched. At least Bewitched had some. I know she was a witch, but at least there was family and, there was some moral culpability in that. I mean, now I don't have regular TV. We have Netflix, and so we watch pretty close what our children watch. But if I let them just pick a show on Netflix and the kids, I mean, they're all witches. They're all got some witchcraft. They all got some supernatural thing going on. They all got every freaking one of them, it seems like.
Yeah, they're setting us up, it seems. I'm sure you've heard about CERN. You probably had guests talk about CERN and how it's opening a portal to the dark side. And Tex Mars has a book out called Hell's Mirror, and he talks about how the architecture in the world is much of it is satanic, as if we were preparing for a satanic kingdom. And then you put that together. That book came out about 2 years ago, You put that together with the burning of Notre Dame, and it would make sense that as they're building satanic architecture, they're going to take down the Christian architecture. And I believe we are seeing the unfolding of what would be a very dark time for our planet.
Let maybe go towards public school. I call them government school. I know we're getting a little off your book, but this is kind of where the discussion is going. How important at this point is it that parents understand what's going on in public school? How important is to find some alternative to what is there?
Yeah, my son I sent to Christian schools until the 10th grade, and then he was an athlete, and he actually wanted to attend public school because they had better sports programs than the Christian school sending him to, which was actually kind of good because his Christian school – at least the final one we were sending it to was quite expensive, and it helped to save some money for college. But he had such a firm foundation. He's still a Christian today, and his roommate's a Christian, and he attends church and is quite active in his church. So because he had a solid foundation growing up for the first 10 grades, the 11th and 12th didn't affect him. But I was well aware of what happened to my classmates. I actually became an atheist in public school when my teacher was teaching us evolution, and had a Christian classmate raised her hand and said, "That's not what the Bible says." And he looked at her and with pity in his eyes and said, "Oh, well, you know, science has proven that the Bible is a myth." And my classmates all piped up and said the same thing. And that was, I didn't know it, but I said, "Oh, it's what the Bible says about Adam and Eve. That's all a little myth." And I didn't know it, but that was a very important moment in my life because that was the moment when I went down the road of being an atheist. I ultimately became an atheist, hippie, left winger. I'm sure you've noticed that atheists almost inevitably not conservative, but they're on the left side of this political spectrum.
Yeah.
Public school.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what it's like today, but I know it's so politically correct. They've got transvestites coming in and teaching kids, and transgender has become so politically correct that
that incenses me. I have small children. That incenses me to such a degree. I don't even know. I mean, if I don't send my children to government school, but if they came home and they said, "Oh, Daddy, you know, Bumblebee was at the school today and let me put a dollar in his G-string," I mean, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, it's insane. Our culture is growing insane. Those of us who are out of the matrix and retain Christian values, there's a greater and greater divide between us, and so we become more and more marginalized by the mainstream.
Do you think I want to get to these other subjects, but you're such a mind, and you know, very few people can I ask these questions to and get good answers. Where do you think this is going? You just said there's a divide. I don't know what percentage on both sides, but they're committed. I mean, convicted on both sides. And it's seems to be growing in this divide. Where do you think this is headed?
Well, we know that they've got money on their side. The one advantage I feel that we have, Daniel, is we've got the truth on our side. They obviously don't. And so that's our appeal to people, is that we can logically argue. But of course, they're trying to dumb down people, not only through public education and TV, but through, some would say, the fluoride in the water, the GMOs, the vaccines, the chemtrails, whatever else they're doing to us chemically. And I know you have a lot of chemical remedies in your power mall, and you talk to people about those things on your show. Money makes the world go round. You know, they control the central bank, so they've got the financing. That's why they can, we don't have the money to buy a TV network as they do and to produce the kind of program that they want. So I expect that we're going to see more political correctness. I mean, I wasn't expecting transgenderism, but that was the next step after gay marriage, wasn't it? And who knows what dark social thing they have planned next. But certainly we'll see more of the surveillance Orwellian police state. We're looking at 5G coming, which may even be intended to affect our thoughts, as well as create a bigger surveillance state, maybe even kill us on a selective level. So I just see things getting worse until the dark period, the end times that the Bible talks about occur, and we see the return of Christ. But in the meantime, I'm firmly convicted that God wants us to continue to fight this, that he always wants his will done on earth as in heaven. So he wants us to carry on this fight, even if we're losing at the moment.
Well, you mentioned fight and Christians fight and Christians stand. It's not necessarily fight. It's being who we are. It's like you're mm-hmm. standing up for who you are, a pursuer of truth. So that's what you are. And that's how you come across. It's not necessarily fighting for something, but when you have something so egregious to who you are and your core beliefs, you have to stand or else you're going to get bowled over. You really only have two choices and you're standing and we commend you. And you kind of goes right into another one of your topics, which is Truman, Israel connection, the Schofield Bible, Palestine, all that. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah,
we got about a minute before the break, and then we'll continue on the other side.
America Day is fighting war after war that hasn't made sense. You know, we committed more than 10 years to the war in Iraq, and that cost us over $1 trillion. And, you know, the whole thing began over weapons of mass destruction that didn't even exist. And then the invasion of Afghanistan was allegedly because they wouldn't give us bin Laden. But all the Afghanistan government said was, can you provide us some proof that he was behind 9/11? And we didn't provide that proof. Well, bin Laden officially, and I don't really believe that official narrative, but officially he was killed in 2011. That's 8 years ago now. And yet we're still in Afghanistan, and it's costing us $45 billion a year. These wars don't make any sense. The bombing of Libya, the cruise missiles against Syria based on some white helmets videos, and now John Bolton making noises about war with Iran. Well, really, the only beneficiary of these wars, it's not America and it's not these Muslim Middle Eastern countries. The only beneficiary has been Israel, which has sat back and watched as America has taken out one enemy of Israel as another. This is one of those conflicted areas for a lot of Christians. If they follow the Schofield Bible and the Christian Zionists, of course, they support Israel. I, though I'm half Jewish myself, do not support Israel. I view it not as a godly recreation of the state of Israel, but a Rothschild state.
There's the music. That's a great introduction. We'll continue on the other side. Schofield Bible is really one of the major influencers for this idea of rapture. Hey, don't worry, Christians. Just calm down. Don't worry. It'll all go away. Don't worry about it. That was a Schofield Bible, too. We'll be back more on the other side with the one and only James Perloff, jamesperloff.com. 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw. Great book. Stay tuned.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores are love to eat. Yum! If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. Thepowermall.com, of course, is where all the great products that James mentioned earlier. We got 20% off on while supplies last, and they'll probably be gone in the next day or two. So check that out by the end of the week for sure. Willard Water Dark, we got the 16-ounce Inca Warrior Protein Powder, which is, that is fantastic protein powder. It's just that we don't talk about these products enough, and we get extra, and so, you know, we're putting a big sale on them. You take advantage of it. Natural Aloe Vera Soap, Silver Shield Dog and Bedding Spray, Silver Tongue Oral Care Mouthwash. That bedding spray, you can use that if there's any kind of odors, not just dogs, you know, bathrooms, whatever. Any kind of odors, it's fantastic, and it's got the colloidal silver in it, and of course the Topperson Fibro Cream. All that's 20% off, so take advantage. And also all the great products from Robert Redfern, the alpha lipoic acid, the curcumin, the vitamin E full spectrum, the vitamin D, the high quality, the lithium orotate, all these and more. The REM sleep, all on sale at the Power Mall. Take advantage of it, ladies and gentlemen. That's how we're funded. We don't get the check from the Schofield Bible people. We get checks from you. This is your show and independent thought and guests like James Perloff. So thank you so much, and continue the tradition Joyce started so many years ago. Thank you for being there. We appreciate your purchases and donations. 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. Thepowermall.com. We're talking to James Perloff. JamesPerloff.com. His new book, 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw. Very good read. Short little snippets of major historical events. And only James can put this kind of perspective on it. It's fantastic. What a great writer he is. James, we're talking about Truman, the Israel connection, the Schofield Bible, Palestine, the wars. You've kind of given some background on that. Continue on this and how the Rockefellers even got involved with the Schofield Bible.
Yeah, actually, the Rockefellers, it's interesting. They had another mission than the Schofield Bible, and that was to modernize the American churches and to push one world religion, the World Council of Churches. Modernism, that degraded the Bible, so it was not really written by the people who was claimed to be written by. It was full of errors. There was no miracles by Jesus. He was just a wise man. All this got introduced into a lot of seminaries that are now serving mainline denominations in America. The Schofield Reference Bible is another story. This is a divide between the Rockefeller modernist and the fundamentalist in the early part of the 20th century. And although the fundamentalists stood for the Bible, they were hooked into the Schofield Reference Bible. It's kind of like the old Rothschild strategy of funding both sides of the war. So while the Rockefellers were funding modernism, and I've got a chapter on that in my book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. The Rothschilds were funding the Christian Zionism, which I have a chapter on in my new book, 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw. Now, what happened was, since we know that as early as 1829, perhaps before, but we have proof that as early as 1829, the Rothschilds were already buying up land in Palestine for this recreation of a Zionist state. And in the 1890s, Theodore Herzl was running these Zionist congresses, that we must go back and retake the land of Palestine. And in 1904, Herzl approached Pope Pius X to ask his blessing on this Zionist takeover of Palestine, and the Pope refused. As soon as that happened, the signals went out, and Cyrus Schofield went over to England, where he was immediately promised by Oxford University Press up front that they would publish his reference Bible. Now, as a writer myself, I can tell you this is ridiculous. Major publishers do not promise to publish major books sight unseen unless you're a famous author like Stephen King and you're a guaranteed moneymaker. Now, Cyrus Schofield was not qualified to write a reference Bible. He'd never been to a seminary. He had no college or university training. He didn't know the ancient languages that the Bible had been written in, like Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. He'd only written one book in his life, which is actually self-described as a pamphlet. It's called Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. Yet Oxford University Press guaranteed they were going to publish this Bible, which they did in millions. Well, let's talk a little about Cyrus Schofield's background, though. He'd been a cricket politician in Kansas, involved in a lot of confidence games. He abandoned his family in Kansas. He deserted his wife and children. He went up to Canada, where he disappeared up there for a few years, then reappeared in St. Louis, was involved in more confidence games. According to a newspaper account of the day, was thrown in jail. Then suddenly all the charges were dropped against him, and suddenly becomes a Christian pastor, and he moves down to Dallas where people don't know him. And even after he became a pastor, his wife successfully sued him for divorce and child abandonment. You know, and the Schofield Reference Bible, one of the hallmarks of Christianity or being a Christian is you're truthful. He calls himself Doctor of Divinity. Well, where did he get this doctorate? Because he never went to a college or a university or a seminary. So, and he never explained where that doctorate came from. So he wasn't particularly truthful. And it's pretty apparent that a lot of this Bible was dictated to him. This Bible was intended to convince Christians that God wanted the Jews to go back to Palestine and take it over to create a Jewish homeland there. And this Bible, the main version of it, the Schofield Reference Bible, came out in 1917, which I'm sure not coincidentally was also the year, 1917 was the year the Balfour Declaration, where this is during World War One. The Balfour Declaration was when the British government promised Lord Rothschild, Lord Walter Rothschild, that they would form a Jewish homeland in Palestine. And so the Schofield Reference Bible made it look like this is all prophecy being fulfilled. Schofield claimed that God had given an unconditional promise to the Hebrews to always occupy, there would always be their land. It was unconditionally said. But actually, if you look at the Bible, God's blessings upon the ancient Israelites were always conditional. Look at Deuteronomy 28, for example.
28.
Sure, they'll get blessings for obedience, but disobedience, they will be cursed. And actually, if you look at Moses bringing the Hebrews out of Egypt, they weren't even allowed to go into the land for 40 years due to their disobedience. Now, do you really think that today's Israelites are more godly than the Israelites of those days? Well, take a look at Tel Aviv. It's been voted the world's most gay-friendly city. They have an annual gay parade. And according to a poll by what's the major poll service? Gallup poll showed that 65% of today's Israelis consider themselves either atheist or non-religious. So I wouldn't say they're more godly. This was not a return of the Jews to Palestine as an act of God. It was done all under the coordination of the Rothschilds, the world's most powerful banking family, who are also the forces behind globalism, world government, League of Nations, UN, and communism also. They were the force behind Lenin and Trotsky moving into Russia and slaughtering the Tsar and millions of Christians in that land. So these are not people you want to be teamed up with, I have to say. So that's kind of the background of Christian Zionism, and I'm glad to see people like Pastor Chuck Baldwin now utterly rejecting it And a lot of people have wised up. You know, I attended evangelical churches where Christian Zionism was taught for a long time. But as I watched events unfolding and began to investigate and look into the whole background of this thing, I saw that it was a scam. The Zionists knew they could not retake Palestine without Christian support. When the Catholics wouldn't give it to them, they turned to the Protestants and they used the Scofield Reference Bible. It's print, again, millions of copies printed as their tool to indoctrinate people in this idea.
Fascinating stuff. The book is 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw. We're talking to the author, James Perloff, jamesperloff.com. Truth is a Lonely Warrior, probably what his book is most famous for. You have 13 basically vignettes, stories, kind of exactly like we went. We really don't have time to, I mean, every one of these is an hour discussion, I mean, at least.
Sure.
Let's go to a little bit of current events. The vaccine issue is getting heavy, hot and heavy. The abortion issue is turning. I can remember in the 80s, I would see churches speaking out against abortions pretty aggressively. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the South. And then now it seems like the churches are a little quiet. Maybe it's just my perception. I don't know. I don't see churches as vocal as they were. But at the same time, the Bible Belt, the Midwest, they're turning on this issue. Vaccines and abortions, choice, my body, all these things, they're all coming right to a head. Your thoughts?
In my book, Truth is a Lonely War, I do have a full chapter on vaccines. And by the way, I am a registered nurse. And there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever, Daniel, that vaccines are the prime source of autism. I was mildly autistic as a child myself, and I had horrible reactions to the DPT shots, fevers and what they were calling eczema, skin eczema. Well, all that went away after they stuck giving me the shots, but it reoccurred when they gave me boosters, you know, and I had a difficult childhood related to that. But it's not just a personal thing for me. You can see the vaccines, since vaccine schedules have been dramatically increased, we've seen the autism rate change from 1 in 10,000 to, I believe it's as high as 1 in 55 now, depending on where you put people on the spectrum. And it's not just better diagnosis. I mean, when you've got a totally autistic kid who's basically vegetative, staring off into space, people would have noticed that back in the 60s, believe me, if their children were like that, and they weren't. And there should be a lot of 50, 60, 70, 80-year-old autistics now if it's just better diagnosis. It's not better diagnosis. It's the things we're doing. There may be other contributing factors to autism for sure, electromagnetic waves and
glyphosate.
So many things are occurring in our environment. But I do believe that vaccines are the number one culprit. I also believe it's behind Alzheimer's disease. You know, my mother had Alzheimer's that was so severe that she could not remember how to finish the sentence she'd started. She'd already forgotten the sentence by the time she was trying to finish
wow.
it. And if you walked out of the room, if I spent 30 minutes with her and I walked out of the room, I'd come back 1 minute later and she wouldn't know I'd been with her. I think I would just come to see her for the first time. So, but my father, on the other hand, lived to 99. He never saw the doctor, never got a flu shot. Just to back up a little bit, my mother got an annual flu shot, and those flu shots, even the CDC admits, still have thimerosal, mercury in them. And if you listen to Dr. Boyd Haley, who's a chemist at the University of Kentucky, it's this mercury. The elderly can't. That their nervous systems can't tolerate the mercury, which we know is a deadly substance. You know, I'm a registered nurse, as I mentioned, and you know, it used to be if we had mercury thermometers, one broke on the floor, there'd be terror, a outbreak of terror, and you'd have the housekeeping department would say, I can't touch that stuff. I can't clean that up, you know. But we inject it into children now. We inject it into the elderly, and along with the aluminum as well, which is another neurotoxin and other things that go into these vaccines. There's no doubt we're poisoning people. And that I believe goes back to the whole population control agenda. And you should go back to Ted Turner saying we have to reduce world population by 95% and Robert McNamara of the World Bank, talking about how the current death rates must go up and Prince Philip talking about he wants to return as a deadly virus to solve overpopulation. All the elites are talking about overpopulation. Well, what they want is a reduced population so when they control the world, you know, it's tough to control 7 billion people, but you reduce that world population 95%, it's going to be a lot easier to have the remaining world population under your thumb. But, yeah, it all ties together, and no question that vaccines are part of that I'm not sure.
What do you make of
all your questions?
Well, what do you make? Let me ask you this about vaccines. Follow up. The push in New York, mandatory. We're seeing states. California has mandatory schools. Hawaii's. They want even adults. They're discussing it right now. What do you make of this? I think they're going to go too far. I don't think some people are not going to handle that well.
Mandatory vaccination. It's funny. New York is also the state where they've now passed full-term abortion and was celebrating it, right?
Yeah.
And the whole motto of the abortion movement was "My body, my choice." Yet these same people, when you talk about vaccines, that "my body, my choice" motto goes right out the window. It's society's body, and you have to accept what society mandates goes in there. This goes back a long ways. Yeah, it's insane. You cannot make yourself healthy by injecting yourself with a disease, and that's what you're doing with vaccines. You know, they contain the actual viruses. They may be deadened viruses, but they contain viruses. And now with like MMR, they're giving your baby three of these at the same time, and that immature immune system of the infant is never designed to handle three viruses simultaneously. And that's why you see these autism spectrums set it in so quickly. I would recommend people, after these shots are given, I would recommend people go and see the movie Vaxxed, download that from the internet. That's one of the best things that's out there. And see testimony after testimony from the parents whose children were perfectly normal until they were vaccinated.
What do you make of the abortion argument? You see states like New York, they're going full on. We don't care if the baby's born, you can kill it. And then you see states like Alabama, you know, 6 weeks. You know what? I'm tired of this. No abortions. I don't care rape. I don't care what. After 6 weeks, that's it. Forget it. Where is this headed?
Well, again, it's amazing how many of these things fall under the category of population control. Abortion, go back to the eugenics and the world wars, and you look at things like the feminist movement, which was creating a divide between men and women, and then you have less relationships, right? And transgenderism, homosexual marriage, you're not going to get many births out of those things. And sex robots, how about that? And you get any births out of that? All of these things have a common denominator, which is population reduction, but it keeps getting more and more perverse. And again, the full-term abortions in New York, I didn't think we'd get to the point where a full-term baby could be killed, but that's the sort of insane mindset that has overcome so many Americans. I am delighted to see the South, where they have a, you know, much firmer, it seems, biblical basis down there. Now, I'm sure that these laws that have come up in Alabama and be proposed in Missouri are very much a counter-rebellion. I kind of look at it as in its own small way, revival of the war between the states. I'm glad to see people standing up for righteousness down south, and I'm certainly disappointed I live up here in Massachusetts to see, you know, the further degradation we're into. By the way, I should mention something. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What I was going to say.
No, you go ahead.
We talked about population control. Another method, of course, is weather control, and we're seeing that more and more. And we're seeing these. Joyce Riley talked about how in her area in Missouri they would have these category called Cat 5 tornadoes coming down. She said in her youth she never saw that. And I've noticed that it seems like it's the Bible Belt that gets targeted. You know, the year we had the major hurricanes, not only in Puerto Rico, but in Texas and in Florida. Remember, we got those big three. Each one was being called the storm of the century. I have a feeling that they're targeting the Bible Belt. And you don't see it much in the Northeast, which is where these elites live. I may be wrong, but I think that there is some targeting going on.
Have Sandy. I think Sandy was 2012, but yeah, you're right. I mean, or along the Gulf, that one that hit Texas down there in, I don't know where it landed, but I know Beaumont, Texas was, Houston area kind of hit. I think that was kind of the eye of the storm there. Devastated, and nobody had ever seen anything like it in the way it acted. Hurricane Katrina, all these things. It's unprecedented what's going on, without question.
I was going to kind of they know that with things like hurricanes and flooding, these disasters now in the Midwest with the flooding from the wintertime and along the Mississippi, killing cattle and crops. They know that people will throw up their hand and say, well, it's an act of God. Actually, it's not. That's how one way to get away with it. If they dropped a bomb, of course, people would say, you know, who dropped the bomb? But you do it through weather control. People say, you know, why did God do this when it wasn't God at all? It was actually people manipulating through current technology. But I'm sorry. You know something, Dan? Daniel, I've cut you off a couple of times, so please go ahead. You were going to say and ask
something. No, James, not at all. We got a little bit of delay. Don't worry about that at all. This is a great discussion. Yes, the floods in the Midwest, think about the crops. We got, I don't know, about 5-6 minutes left. Mm-hmm. People, I know this because my wife has a pretty strong discussion going with another family member on Facebook, social media, what have you, about vaccines, about abortions, about evolution. And he keeps calling her anti-science. You're anti-science. You're a pseudo religion and all this. And I keep and it just boggles my mind. I am pretty excited and proud of her, the way she responds. Anti-science, one, there is no science that proves vaccines are safe. There's zero science. About abortions, what do you mean? I am pro-choice. I'm pro-choice of people be able to get pregnant or not. You have a choice to get pregnant or not. What are you talking about? Do you not know how people get pregnant? Are you that anti-science? Or people who want abortions, do they not know how pregnancy occurs? And then three, which you mentioned a little earlier, evolution. There is no scientific evidence of macroevolution, but yet all three of these are shoved down our throat like they're just gospel truths, when the truth is they're not based in fact at all. Evolution.
Yeah, it's not science. It's bad science. And, these people who think it's science have actually been matrixed, as I say. They've been, somebody taught this again and again in schools. And of course, I was taught that too. And then, you know, after I became a Christian, then I began to start wondering about man's origins. And I said, wait a minute. What about all that science stuff I read about, Louis Leakey and discovering, man came from these apes in Africa? And, so when I started to investigate it, you know, I read, a book by Dr. Gary Parker and Dr. Henry Morris called What is Creation Science? And it just blew me away, the evidence against Darwin's theory. And that's why I ended up writing two books about that tornado in the junkyard and the case against Darwin. Or the case against Darwin is just a smaller version of the first book for people who don't have time for a longer read. But, yeah, the science is on our side on all these subjects. It's just that the people, the powers that be, they control the media and they control the public schools, and thus they're able to control the narrative and make it look scientific. But it doesn't withstand scrutiny.
Earlier in the show, I read an article about abortion, about what's going on in Alabama. I just read the first three paragraphs, and it's supposed to be, you know, a neutral news site. Just the facts, ma'am. You remember that from Dragnet or what have you. Mm-hmm. And the words that they use, and now we see NPR, the way they, you know, don't refer to babies in the womb as babies. They're not the unborn. They're fetuses. Don't refer to an abortion clinic. Refer to it as a health clinic. A medical clinic. I mean, the people who are doing this and are pushing this in our schools and media, they understand words perfectly, ladies and gentlemen, and they're twisting them in your mind, and it's a little psyop right against you. Every little thing that you read, that's why, to me, you know, be careful what you put in your mind. Your thoughts, James?
Well, that's goes right back to George Orwell's 1984, where they had Newspeak, where they would change the meanings of words, and that's what they've done today, to alter the way people think.
What would you suggest to people listening? And this news can get overwhelming, and these things, they're maddening at some level. For people listening, what were the most important things that people can be aware of and do, maybe two or three things for them?
Being educated is one. I think having a support group is good. You know, I hang out with some people who, you know, they're into 9/11 truth and you know, or they're woke people, and having some friends that you can join in, as well as going to church with people who hopefully to some degree are awake. And most of, at least the evangelical churches are awake to the fact that gay marriage, transgenderism, and abortion is wrong, even if they're not as awake on some of these other issues that exist out there. And of course, also, taking the kind of, not to just plug the problem all here, but taking natural supplements and eating organic and making, and, you know, another one, I have one chapter there on wireless, and it's an interview with Cece Doucette, who's up here in Massachusetts. She's our top wireless educator. You know, getting your devices hardwired and making sure that you stay away from excessive electromagnetic radiation, which is another source of harm. So keeping yourself healthy, both spiritually, mentally, and physically. Those are all, and then getting involved and hoping to wake up others. I'd say that's a fairly good, in a nutshell, a fairly good game plan.
I would agree. 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw, that's the name of the book, Solving Political, Cultural, and Spiritual Riddles, Past and Present. Very interesting. James Perloff, jamesperloff.com, P-E-R-L-O-F-F. I mean, as you can hear, ladies and gentlemen, just such a mind, a thoughtful. You may not agree with everything he writes or everything he says, but you can almost guarantee that he's thought this through, and he comes from certainly an informed and a convicted point of view when he brings it to you. Fantastic work here, James. I've got about a minute or so, maybe last thoughts on the book or website or anything else you'd like to bring to our audience.
Oh, well, thanks very much, Daniel. Appreciate your carrying on Joyce's work here. And I'm so glad you're in a new time slot, which has fewer breaks, I noticed. So more yes. Time for discussion. That's fantastic. Thank you for what you're doing. On my own end, my website is jamesperloff.com, and the new book is, again, it's 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw, Companion Piece to Truth as a Lonely Warrior, Primers on the New World Order.
Fantastic. James, it's an honor. We look forward to having you on again and for another discussion. And anytime you need anything from us, we're there for you. Let us know, my friend.
Well, thank you. That's reassuring. Thank you, Dan.
Well, you said we need to be in groups and community, right? We need to work together. Well,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Count
me in that group. I would like to go to lunch at that group you're talking about. That sounds fantastic. ladies and gentlemen, replay tomorrow. The end of the week, Daniel Esselin will be here. And Sherry Tenpenny. This vaccine issue is getting, we've talked about this. This is getting more important, more important, more important, not less. God bless you. Have a fantastic afternoon. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay successful, and stay free, just as God intended you to be. God bless you.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, New Mana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that Carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.